Amen. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter. I finally found those notes that I told you I couldn't find last Wednesday. I finally found them, and I was comparing them with what I had, the emergency notes that I made, and they's pretty close. I pretty much had it. It's one place that I couldn't remember, and I think God may have had a reason for it. But I've got it down here tonight, and we were looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. I like both of Peter's books. I really do. And I was told years ago not to study much on Peter, not to read much on Peter, and not to get anything from Peter because Peter wasn't for us. And I've studied it. That just kind of made me mad, so I just kept studying. I thought, well, you're telling me not to, and God told me to, so I'm just going to keep studying. And I'll tell you, if Peter's just as good as John, it's just as good as Paul, just as good as James, just as good as Isaiah and Psalms and all of those other places in the Bible. I just like it. I like some things that Peter dealt with, some things he talked with, and the way he talked. But he said, let's pick it up in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Does anybody have a definition of the word virtue tonight? Does anybody know what that means? What does it mean? What does virtue mean? Huh? Uprightness? Purity? Things that are virtuous are things that are pure. Amen? And I'll tell you something. God, number one, God has called us to glory and virtue. He's appointed us to that. That's where we're headed. And the desire of a true born-again believer in Jesus Christ is that we would attain to the glory and to the virtue, the cleanness of life, the cleanness of mind, the cleanness of heart that we all wish that we could attain to. And that's our goal. That's what we want. That's what I want out of my life. That's what I want in my marriage. What I want in my family is virtue. I want cleanness in our family. I want cleanness in our church. I want cleanness in our country. Let me hear you say amen to that. We don't have a lot of cleanness anymore. The Supreme Court Justice, Elena Kagan, she proceeded over a sodomite wedding. One of her clerks and his husband. That just don't sound right. One of the supreme judicial leaders of our nation giving blessing to a sodomite wedding. We've lost a lot of virtue in this country. Can I hear you say amen? So you know what? I love America. I will fight for America. I will die for America. But if I lose America, I've still got heaven. Amen? That's my real nation. That's my real country. That's what I'll live for, and that's what I'll die for. But he says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We talked about that, how to be like God, think like God, have God's nature in us instead of that old man nature that we have, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. We counted this out last week. There's 9 things in here, starting with great and precious promises. And then we have faith, which is number 2, virtue, number 3, knowledge, number 4, and to knowledge, temperance, that's number 5, to temperance, patience, that's 6, patience, godliness, that's 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindliness, that's 8, and to brotherly kindness, charity, that's number 9. 9 is the number for bearing fruit. It's the number for things that are fruitful. Genesis chapter 9. You go back and read Genesis chapter 9 when you get home. First thing out of God's mouth in Genesis chapter 9, guess what it is? And the Lord God said unto Noah and his family, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. By the way, that phrase, be fruitful, you might want to take a guess at how many times that phrase is in your King James Bible. Just a random wild guess. 9 times. Wow, you're smart. You nailed it, man. 9 times God said be fruitful. We're going to look at a few things that relate to that and get an understanding of what real, genuine, Christian fruitfulness is all about. But he said in verse 8, he said, for if these things be in you, Notice that they are in us. Where do they come from? They come from the Word of God, because God's given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So these things will come to us by way of the Word of God. And let me just kind of run through this very quickly. We have great and precious promises. Those will be found in the Word of God. In verse 5, we have faith. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I was talking to a fellow on the phone today, and he said, my brain kind of doesn't work sometimes. He said, I try to read the Bible, and he said, next thing I know, my mind's just shooting all over outer space and everything like that. Some of you know exactly what that is. Amen. He said, I heard you talk about Alexander Scorby reading the King James Bible. And he said, I got that. And he said, I'll pop that in. He said, I can listen to him all day long to read the King James Bible. And he said, what I found out, he said, I'm better listening to the Word of God than I am reading the Word of God. And isn't that interesting? And I reminded him of the verse. I said, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And where you may have a problem reading, or you may have a problem focusing on what you're reading in the Word of God. Sometimes I'll say I'm going to read some Bible, and I'll sit down there and I'll read the same verse 25,000 times, because every time I read it, my mind went over here, over there. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and go back and read it. Whereas sometimes if you just listen to the Word of God, boy, it just does something to you. Let me just kind of give you my little theory about how powerful the Word of God is. I've heard a lot of preachers over the years, and I'm not trying to elevate myself as somebody special, I get it and they don't kind of guy. But I've heard this phrase a long time in church. You read the Word of God, then you must apply the Word of God. And I kind of get where they're coming from. I mean, I really do. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. But I also believe that the Word of God is so powerful, it has the ability to do things in my life that I never could have done to begin with. I think in many cases, the Word of God is self-applicating. Amen? And if you look at it, when we get to that, he said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful. It's the Word of God that made you fruitful. It wasn't yourself. It was the Word of God. But anyway, going back, faith comes from the Word of God. Virtue. Paul said in Philippians, if there be anything virtuous, think on these things. The most virtuous, pure thing that I know of in the entire universe is the Word of God. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Then he said, once you have virtue, you add to virtue knowledge. Best places in the world. Best thing in the world to be smart at is your Bible. Read it. And then you know what you do when you're done? Read it again. And then read it again. Now, and I like to help people. Not everybody is the same. Not everybody is the same. People have asked me, have you ever read the whole Bible through? And I said, I'm pretty sure I have. Just not all at once. Okay? That is not normally how I study the Bible. I don't just pick a whole section and I'm going to read this and do this. I'm a searcher. Okay? You get me, back before I had computers, I had a Strong's Concordance, and what I was doing, I was looking at places in the Bible where words were found, and I would use the Strong's and go to that particular place and so on, and that's how I did it. Now I got a computer. Man, I just typed that in. We had that lady teach us about that software. You just type that stuff in. Boom, here it comes. Every place in the Bible is going to talk about these things. By and large, when I study the Bible, I'm going from verse to verse to verse. I'm studying things in the Bible, studying whole concepts, whole ideas, all through the Scriptures. I want to know what the Bible says about this. And a lot of times, if there's a lot of places where a certain word or phrase is found, I'll start taking notes. I'll say, okay, now in this place it said this, and this place it said this, and so on. And you can understand a lot from the Scriptures. But again, not everybody is the same. Some people, when they read the Bible, they sit down, they pick 3 or 4, maybe 5 chapters at a time, and they sit there and they read through the Scriptures. Okay? But some, like me, I'm here a little while, and I'm over here a little while, and I'm studying this over here, and that's just kind of how my mind, sometimes I'll be reading something, and that something will catch me, and I'll go, wait a minute, and boy, I'll be flipping through my Bible, just looking at all kinds of things through that, and what I'm going to tell you is, however God made you, study the Bible that way. Okay? So if you want to read it, if you want to start in Revelation and go backwards to Genesis, read it that way. Okay? God will bless it. God will give the increase. But learn your Bible. Have knowledge of the Bible. So if I were to say to you, let's hear of the story of Moses and the ark, you could say to me, what? Excuse me. When Moses was a little baby, everybody's going, oh, yeah. His sister made an ark of bulrushes and put him in it and sent him down the Nile River. I know that. Noah and the ark, Moses and the ark, David and the ark of the covenant. See, when you learn, when you have knowledge, you know these things. Amen? Okay? You could win a lot of money on Jeopardy if that was the category. All right? But seriously, you want knowledge? Get Bible knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Now, somebody tell me what temperance is. Huh? Okay, what does the word itself, temper, mean? I like to break down words. I like to find out where words come from. We have a word that we use just about every day. Hey, what's the temperature outside? And what do we mean by that? How hot or cold is it? Okay? And we live in Missouri, which means it's going to be 90 degrees tomorrow, and a front will move in, and it'll be 40 that night. We will have 50 degree changes in temperature here. Amen? But what does that do? What does that do to things outside? Streets, they'll warp and buckle, and I mean everything. Piano strings get out of tune, stuff like that. I mean, that's what happens. Tempered. Anybody here that's ever worked with metal, glass, mortar, concrete, cement? What do you do to it? How do you temper glass? And what is tempered glass good for? What do you use tempered glass for? Your car windshield has tempered glass. There was a day when, in the old days, when they were making these old cars, they would put regular glass as windshields in these cars. And when they got hit with something, people were dead. Big pieces of glass shooting in them. So they developed the process of tempering glass. What do? Huh? They get it extremely hot, cool it down rapidly. And what that does, that changes the molecules. And they bond together tighter, something like that. The same way with steel, tempered steel, or tempered mortar. Read Ezekiel about untempered mortar. Untempered mortar will not hold. It will not stick. When the storm comes and the hail comes and the wind comes, you may have made it out of brick and stone, but if you used untempered mortar, that wall is coming down. That wall is only going to be as strong as that mortar is, and that mortar must be tempered. Temperance means that you have been brought through situations in life by the Holy Spirit, by God, and He has made you stronger as a result of that. Do you see that in life? The modern translations will take this word temperance and they'll give it a phrase that I absolutely hate. They will replace the word temperance with the word self-control. I don't like that word. I don't like the word self-control. When I'm in control, bad things happen. But when you let God temper you, when you let God refine you through the fire of situations in life, and He brings you through those, you now have an ability to stand or to be strong against a situation that before you would have caved in. And God controls all the heat. He controls all the temperature. He controls everything that you face and endure in life. And all of us, I guarantee you, you can look back and say, God was tempering me there. God was tempering me so that now I have temperance. I have a gift in me called temperance. And not by my own doing, but by the grace of Almighty God and the Word of God, God has made me stronger in areas where before there is no way in the world I could withstand it. Does that make sense to everybody? I like the word temperance a lot better than self-control. Can I hear you say amen? And then temperance, when you got temperance, you add patience to it. Patience. Herein lies the patience of the saints, the Bible says. So that we through, listen to this, so that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. See, it all goes back to the Word of God, doesn't it? You want patience? It'll come from the scriptures. Because you will be in a situation where you want to run, or you want to charge ahead, or you think, I got to do something right now, and God is wanting you to wait on Him. He's wanting you to have patience. How can you have patience? You read this Bible, and what God will do through the words of this book, the Comforter will come. And in a place, see, when we don't have patience, we're agitated. Amen? You ever see somebody, and they're kind of antsy about something going on, and they're just, what's going on with you? I just feel like I gotta, you know, whatever. Relax now, calm down. Well, I'm calm, I just need to go. No, hang on. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, He gives you comfort, and you know what? All of a sudden, yeah, I believe what God said. So I'll wait on God. They that wait on the Lord, the Bible says. When Jesus left to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, what did He tell them to do? Wait. He didn't tell them to usher in the kingdom. He didn't tell them that they had to perform all these things to get the Holy Spirit down in their place. He didn't tell them that. He said, you go up that room and you wait. And if you'll wait on me, I'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary. That's the promise of God. And what God does with His Word is that He gives us enough comfort in life that we'll have patience with God and we'll wait on Him. Does that sound good to you? Say amen. And then from patience, we go to godliness. Godliness is always brought about, number one, by godly sorrow over things that we've done. God will bring sorrow to a believer, will He not? He'll bring godly sorrow to us over things that we've done. God will chasten us. God will get us to think about it. Sometimes all you have to do is chasten yourself. Amen? You show God that contrite heart. He's standing there with a rod in his hand. You show God that contrite heart. God will do what a good parent will do every now and then. I understand. I know I don't have to whip you. And I'm not going to. I can tell that you're really bothered over this. And I'm just going to let you know, we're not going to do this again. That's a good parent, amen? And that, I believe God will do that. God will, if we will chasten ourselves, you look that up. If you will chasten yourself, God won't have to. Amen? But see, sorrow and godly sorrow always worketh repentance, never to be sorry for, and that will bring in godliness in our life. Because we're just like children, and our hearts are full of foolishness. And as a born-again child of God, He will use godly sorrow. He will use chastening. He will use events around us to bring us. And let me just ask you this. You don't have to answer out loud. But something just bad happens. A lot of times the first thing that we think of in our minds, we do this quietly. The first thing we think of is, God, I know You're getting me. God, this is happening. And I know why. And you take that, and you do what God wanted you to do all along. You repent, and you let God work that sorrow in you, and He'll bring you out of that. And all of a sudden, you're acting a little bit more godly than you used to. Things you used to just hold on to, you just don't hold on to them anymore. They're just gone. Can I hear you say amen? And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. And I want you to notice that brotherly kindness is close to the end of the list. Because He says that we're adding these things. You start out with the all things that pertain to life and godliness, those great and precious promises. You start out with that, and then you have faith in them. You add faith to what God has already put down here. And then you add virtue to faith, and you're building on these things. And brotherly kindness is one of those things. It's learning how to deal with other people, in some cases, that we don't really like a whole lot. And it may be somebody in your family, maybe somebody in your house. Or maybe somebody that you're going to church with, or somebody you know. Brotherly kindness. Because if you will let God deal with you first, remember what our Savior told us. Don't pull the splinter out of somebody's eye till you consider the beam that is in your own. Okay? That's brotherly kindness. That's really part of the law that Jesus gave us. Two laws, two very simple laws that our Savior gave us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Brotherly kindness, if we will let God do these other things in our lives through the Word of God, brotherly kindness will be an easier thing to add to our lives, whereas before it probably wasn't. But then after brotherly kindness comes charity. Brotherly, and let me see, this is kind of what I see here. Brotherly kindness, be like me and old John here. John's part of our church, and I like old John, okay? We kind of get along pretty good. I don't know that I see eye to eye with him on everything, because I think he's maybe a couple inches taller than me. So I might see eye to nose or eye to lips with him, but anyway, I think he's a good guy, and I know he believes the Bible, and he's trying to raise his family to believe the Bible and everything like that. And I'd say that about anybody here in our church. I love you, and there's some other people in this world, godly men and women that I love, and we get along pretty good. That's brotherly kindness. That kind of is easy. Then we get to charity. Charity, you've heard me talk about this before, is that love that extends beyond the people that we like. Because what charity is, it is unconditional love. It is love that you have for people that hate your God. See, we get along here because I know all of you. You love God. You love the Word of God. You love the Bible. And it's easy to get along with people that kind of think alike. Amen? That's why we all go to different churches. I mean, that's just how it is. But then charity is one of those things that's extended out beyond the people that's easy to get along with. That's what charity is. It's unconditional love. And unconditional love means that you'll give to somebody whether or not you can get along with them or whether or not you agree with them on everything. You are giving to them and you're not looking for recompense. You're gonna love them anyway, whether they love you back or not. It's not easy to do. In fact, it's downright hard to do. There's a guy, I'm not going to say a whole lot, but he hates my guts bad. He's leaving comments all over the world. And I just decided I was going to love him. Had to pray about it first. But I decided I was going to love him. And I was going to pray for him. And whatever he said about me, I wasn't going to go back with, you know, at it. I wasn't going to say, well, you're a liar, you're this, you're that. I decided I wasn't going to do that. Number one, that makes me free. I'm not in bondage to him. He can say whatever he wants. He can make up whatever he wants. And it's not bothering me. And number two, it'd be a whole lot better, rather than to make a worse enemy out of him, to make a friend out of him, a brother. It'd be a lot better to do that. And that is not in our nature. It is not in the nature of gun-carrying Americans. It's not in our nature. But it's a gift that God will give you if you'll ask Him for it. Okay? I know for a fact. I could tell stories, but I'm not gonna. I know for a fact that God can make me love somebody that I never loved before. Okay? And there's somebody in this room that God showed me that one day. And I asked God to do that. God can make you love somebody that you didn't love before. And you'll do things unconditionally for them. That's charity. That's giving. That's the true love that God... God gave His only begotten Son to who? The good people? He gave His only begotten Son to the whole world, Tammy. The whole world. Including 1 billion screaming Muslims who can't wait to cut the throat of every Christian and Jew in this world. Christ died for them. And I've got a little theory. Maybe right, maybe wrong. I've got a little theory about the Arab Muslims. They are the seed of Ishmael, are they not?
Yes.
Go read what happened with Hagar in the wilderness. And go find out what the angel of the Lord promised Hagar concerning her seed. You go read that. Wouldn't it be neat if the greatest revival in the world happened in the Middle East with all those Arabs who follow the moon god Allah? Wouldn't it be cool? Okay? Now, I'll be honest with you. And I may deal with this tomorrow on the Pastor Mike Online. The spiritual force that I felt in Migori, Kenya, with those three mosques in that town, and I recognize the witchcraft of the buildings. I get it. I study stuff like that, so I get it. I know what those buildings represent, and I know what spirit it was that I was dealing with over there. Okay, and it made me angry, those spirits coming against me like that. Okay? And don't even ask me if I want a Muslim mosque in Jefferson County. Because I just about tell you, the moment you start building it, I'm going to throw pig blood all over that thing. I don't care if I go to jail the rest of my life. There's no way in the world I'm going to let that in this county. I'm being dead serious about it. But I will also tell you, If you need it, God will help you love people that you don't love. And that charity is the ninth thing in that list. Okay? And it's almost 8 o'clock, and I just want to run this to you. Okay? When it comes to, how can I say this? When it comes to a woman giving birth to a baby, it's not the woman, it's the seed that does it. The seed is the Word of God. That's what got the baby there to begin with. Amen? Did I say that okay? That's what happened to begin with. And when you were born again, when you were saved, what happened? The Word came and started a process in you that one of these days is going to result in the second coming of Jesus Christ through you. And I got verses. Let me read one. I'm going to read one verse to let you know where I'm going with this. Hang on. Where is it? Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Guess who's in the womb right now? Of all of God's church, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he really is the Son of God, isn't he? Amen. You just ponder that for a while and just think of stories of all these women in the Bible that couldn't have a baby. What God do with them? All of a sudden, they're having a baby. You know what God did? Gave it to them. Anyway, let's stand to our feet. God's good, amen? Amen. If these things be in you and abound, they will make you. They will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. If these things abound in you. Okay, you get it? If these things abound in you, there's going to be a baby. That's how it works. Simple birds and bees stuff. Amen?